Well, in January 2003, something astonishing happened in the state of Illinois. Governor George Ryan, he stepped into the press room, he stepped up to the podium, and he announced that he was commuting the sentences of every single inmate in that state that was on death row. All 167 of them. Now, just for a moment, put politics aside. Imagine, though, what you imagine with me, imagine being one of those prisoners. One of those prisoners who's on death row. You wake up that morning and you expect nothing to change. You expect it to be exactly the same as it was the day, yesterday, the day before that, the day before that. You're guilty. You are condemned. There is no appeal left. There is no hope left. There's no future left for you. And then you hear on the news, it starts to go through the prison. The governor shows up and he gives you a pardon. Just like that, just in that instance, men who expected to die, they expected to die. Now they live. But as stunning as that is, what Jesus does for Levi is infinitely greater. Those inmates, they were pardoned by a governor, but Levi, he was pardoned by God. Those men were spared from a physical death, but Levi, he is spared from an eternal death. Those prisoners were set free to continue to live in a cell, but Levi was set free to follow the king for all of eternity. You see, Levi, he's a picture of someone who is living his own kind of death row, if you will. He was socially dead. He was relationally dead. He was spiritually dead. This is Levi. This is who Levi is. He is a tax collector. Now, to feel the force of this passage of just a tax collector, of course, none of us like tax collectors. We don't want to pay taxes, but you have to understand what a tax collector was back during this time of Jesus. Tax collectors were the absolutely most despised people in all of Jewish society. They were considered traitors. They were Jews who sold out their own people to work for the powerful government, the world of what Rome was back then. They stole from the poor. They took advantage of the weak. They would charge whatever they wanted, and they would keep the excess of the money. Their very name in the Talmud back then was synonymous with corruption. It was synonymous with murderers. If you were to line up the worst people in town, the worst of the worst, Levi would be standing in the very front row. See, Levi, he woke up every morning knowing exactly what the day would hold. He'd be sitting in this tax booth, counting dirty money, feeling the stares of people, hearing the whispers and the hatred of him. He'd wake up bearing the weight of choices that he knew he could never, ever undo. And then, just like those inmates, someone far greater than the governor walks up. Far greater than the governor. Jesus, he passes by, but he doesn't pass over Levi. He stops. He looks directly at him, and he speaks these two words that literally change everything in his life. It's, follow me. Two words spoken into an absolute dead, stone-cold heart. It's brought to life. So this morning, we're going to watch and see this moment unfold. We're going to see grace that walks straight into this tax booth, straight into the life of the most unlikely man in town, and he's going to rewrite his eternity forever. So we're going to explore three points this morning. Three points. First is grace calls the sinner. Second, grace changes the sinner. And then thirdly, grace reveals God's heart to the sinner. Grace calls the sinner, changes the sinner, and grace reveals God's heart to the sinner. So beginning with the first point, grace calls the sinner. Here Jesus is on the move again, right? Mark shows us Jesus moving with purpose, with urgency. He calls his first disciples, and he goes to Peter's home. And then he goes out into the desolate places to pray. We've seen that over the weeks, and now he's again walking along the Sea of Galilee. You see, Jesus is, he's never still, he's never idle, he's never passive, he's always moving. And where is he moving toward? It's always toward sinners. Always pursuing, always seeking. And on this day, he steps, lead him straight to a tax booth. Not just any tax booth, but Levi's booth, who is also known as Matthew, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. This booth, it was the place everyone avoided, the place where everyone just absolutely hated, the place that was where a shameful man sat behind there, that booth, and he took, and he took, and he took from the people. And Levi here, he's spiritually dead. Not only that, he's socially dead. He's relationally dead. The Jews would have nothing to do with tax collectors. They cut them off from everything, all of society. They couldn't even go into worship. They were cut off from God's people. They were literally cut off from any hope of anything. And if you were here last week, and if you remember the sermon from last week on the leper, well, here we have Levi. He's just as much as an outcast to society. Just as much socially as the leper was physically. One cast out for disease, the other cast out for sin. And to the Jewish people, both were unreachable. Both were unreachable except by Jesus. And now you have this picture here, this word, Mark is telling us that Jesus is walking straight toward him. He's walking to him. Theologian Francis Schaeffer says this about Christianity. Christianity is not first an invitation for us to find God, but a declaration that God has come to find us. God has come to find us. That's what's happening here. This is not Levi out trying to figure it out. He's not out searching for Jesus. No, Jesus is searching for Levi. This is grace. It's going out on the hunt. Grace walking toward the man that no one else dared to go near. Grace invading this tax booth where a sinner hides. And we read this, and sometimes, you know, we're just shocked of, you know, why is Jesus doing this? I think the reason that we're so surprised that Jesus would call somebody like a Levi is because deep down we tend to think that we're better than Levi. Beloved, we forget that we are Levi. We are Levi. We are sinners. We are sinners in need of grace and nothing more and nothing less. But Jesus here, he's not hindered by Levi's booth. He's not hindered by Levi's shamefulness or his reputation. No, Jesus, he stops and he looks at Levi directly and he speaks those two words, just two words, follow me. That's it. Follow me. He doesn't give him a lecture. You know how bad you've been? You've been taken from John. You've been taken from Sue. You've been overcharging here. No lecture. No, here's how you can get better as an improvement plan. No conditions on what you can do so you can follow me. It's just grace. Grace calling the sinner. This is what Christianity is. This, beloved, is the gospel. It's not you finding God, but God finding you. Not you reaching up somehow to reach out for God, but God, he's reaching down to you. I've said it week after week after week. It's not about us searching, but it's God coming for you right where you are, right in your booth, right in your brokenness, right in your sinfulness. Beloved, hear this. If grace can call Levi, he can call any single one of us. Grace can call you. Beloved, hear this. The same grace that walked toward Levi is walking toward you today. Right where you are, right in your root booth, right in your brokenness. He comes to you and grace finds you. A glorious thing happens. It leads to our second point. Grace changes the sinner. Look with me at the end of verse 14. It says, Levi rose and he followed him. Simple as that. He rose and he followed him. I mean, pause for a moment. Let that sink in. Feel the weight of that. One second, Levi is, it's just like any other day. He's sitting in his booth. He's absolutely dead inside. He's chained to a life that he built on himself. A life of compromise, a life of greed, a life that he could never undo. And the next second, he's standing and he's leaving. He's leaving that booth. He's walking away from the world he once clung to. He's walking away, stepping into a beautiful brand new life of a world he never expected, but desperately, desperately needed. Beloved, this moment, it's stunning. It is incredible. It made no sense to the crowd that was following Jesus. The fishermen there, I'm sure they're all sitting there watching it too, that they're the ones coming up out of their boats and they had to pass by the tax booth every time they came by to pay their tax. It made no sense to them either. It made no sense to Levi himself, but he just gets up and he follows. You see, grace, it doesn't wait for logic. Grace doesn't wait for permission. No, grace, Jesus, he breaks in. Grace breaks the chains that have held you. It rewrites your story. It's something that it's just supernatural. It just happens in an instant. And it happened inside Levi just at that very moment. A heart that was cold and hard and as stone. And it began to beat. Became alive. A will that has been enslaved suddenly wants Christ. So he just gets up and he follows. This is what grace does when Jesus calls. This is not just Levi's story. It is the story of each and every single one of you. It's the story of me. Every one of us, we were spiritually dead. Every one of us trapped in a life that there's just no way we could escape until grace broke in. Until grace called us, until grace raised us up to new life. And notice here, don't miss here the cost that's involved here. Because Levi, he's not just walking away from a job. Levi, he's walking away from who he is, from his identity, his reputation, his complete worldview. It has just been shattered. It's a kingdom that he's built for himself. Coin by coin, compromise by compromise. You see, grace here, it doesn't just invite him to add a little bit of Jesus to his life. It's not the way it works. Grace calls him to declare his old life, it's over, it's finished. You see, every coin on that table, that booth, was a reminder of who he had been. Every ledger that he had on every single person of those taxes he collected was a reminder of every man that he cheated. Every Roman soldier that he saw was just a reminder of his alliance to the enemy of Rome. And grace here, it invites him to forget all that, to leave all that behind. All of it. And he can do so because it's Jesus. He says, follow me. He's following a new direction. And notice what Levi doesn't do. He doesn't get up and leave, and he just closes his booth nice and neatly so he can come back to it. He doesn't lock it up carefully and keep the key for one day later. He doesn't say, you know, I'll follow Jesus for a little bit and then I'll figure things out, sort it all out. No, he leaves. He leaves like a man escaping a burning building, and he never comes back. Why does he do that? Because grace doesn't just improve your old self. It doesn't just add a little bit of Jesus. No, grace, it gives you a new life. Levi didn't just get a moral talking to and a tune-up. Now, Levi experienced a change of life, a heart plant. He had become a new person. This is why Scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Not a patched up version of the old, but a new man with new loves, new desires, and a new direction. And here's what's important to note as well, because following Jesus always requires a leaving. There's always a booth. Each one of us has that booth, something that we try to cling on to, but you can't follow Christ and stay in the booth of your former life. You can't cling to the chains that Christ came to break. But hear me, I know it's not easy to leave those old patterns, to leave the old ways of life, the old memories, the secrets that you have, the old comforts, the old sins. The grace comes, and it doesn't call you out to shame you. Grace calls you out to heal you. Grace calls you out to make you whole, to give you new life. And when grace comes in and it changes you, it awakens desires, beloved, that you've never had before. You begin wanting what you once ran from, what you once made fun of, what you once criticized, and you begin hating what you once loved. And it changes you. You begin longing for Christ, of who you once ignored. You see, Levi didn't rise because he was curious. He rose because grace breathed life into him. A new life, it changes the person. It changes his feet and redirects where he's going. It uproots the idols that he once held dear. Grace, it does all that as it sets forth a new path for him. It's a new path, new priorities, new direction. And immediately, look at Levi again. He's not hesitating. He's not negotiating. He's not making excuses. He gets up and follows immediately. It's grace. Beloved, maybe today is your day. Maybe this is your moment. Grace has been knocking. Grace has been calling. And now, right in this moment, grace is standing at your booth, and He's saying and he's calling out to you, follow me. Beloved, don't negotiate. Don't hesitate. Just rise. Just rise and follow him. Well, grace calls the sinner. Grace changes the sinner. And he changes the sinner right to the core of our very being. And now we move on to see why Christ came for such sinners. How grace is revealed in the heart of the Savior himself, because grace doesn't just call us, he doesn't just change us, but grace reveals the very heart of God towards sinners. And that brings us to our third point. Grace reveals God's heart. If grace calls the sinner, if grace changes the sinner, then we must see why. We must see the heart behind it, the compassion behind it, the love that drives it. Now, why would Jesus call somebody like Levi? Why would he walk into a booth of corruption, look a traitor in the eye and say, follow me? Why would he enter even into a home and have dinner with a man that everyone just absolutely despised? Mark gives us the answer to the scene in Levi's house. You see, Levi, he's a changed man now, right? Grace has awoken his soul within him, and he's alive. He's on a new path. And the first thing this newly redeemed man wants to do, He wants to bring others to Jesus. He wants the others to see how great this grace is. So Levi, he gathers his friends. And you think, what kind of friends can Levi have? Everybody hates him. Well, it tells us it's other tax collectors. Those are his friends. They're other sinners who were socially and outcast. It's men that all of society just wants to avoid and not be anywhere near them. And here we have Jesus. He goes. He goes to this dinner. He takes on the invitation. He sits at Levi's table. He shares a meal with the broken. And again, you have to understand the culture of that time. And that time and culture, the table of fellowship meant acceptance. It meant closeness. It meant relationship. To sit at a man's table back then was to embrace him as a friend. And the Pharisees here, they can't believe their eyes. They stand outside and they're asking the disciples, why? Why does he eat with these tax collectors, these sinners? Why is Jesus doing this? Well, the Pharisees, and we see this throughout the scripture, all that they do is they divide the world into basically two groups. You got the who they think is the righteous over here, and then sinners in one group over here. And in their minds, the Pharisees' minds, they belong in the righteous group. And those tax collectors, those horrible, awful people, those sinners, they belong in this sinner group. But the reality for the Pharisees, and even more so for us, and this is the reality of life, we're far more like the people we judge than we're unlike them. You see, the Pharisees' problem was not the sinners at the table. The problem was the sin in their very own hearts. It's their sin, it's their pride, it's their blindness, it's their refusal to admit that they needed grace every bit as much as Levi and those tax collectors did. But Jesus here, he shatters the Pharisees' thought process. Look at verse 17, it says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Again, this is grace. It's God's grace through Jesus Christ. This is the very heart of the gospel. It's plain and simple. Jesus didn't come for people who think that they're healthy. He didn't come for those convinced that they had no need. He didn't come for the self-righteous who believe they can stand before God on their own. No, Jesus came. He came for sinners. He came for the spiritually sick. He came for the broken, the guilty, the ashamed, the desperate. He came for the Levites of the world. And here's the reality. The Pharisees, those Pharisees are just as sick as anyone else in that house. Just as sick. They just simply refused to admit it. A man who thinks he's well never seeks the doctor. A man who thinks he's righteous never seeks a savior. But Levi here, he knows exactly who he is. And so does every person reclining around that table. And Jesus, he's not embarrassed to sit with them. He's not ashamed to welcome them. He draws them because this is why he came. This is the very heart of God. He came. He came for one thing and one thing only. He came for sinners. He is the great physician. He doesn't just diagnose men and then leave them. He doesn't identify what the disease is or what the sin is and then avoid the person. No, he came to heal. He came to rescue. He came to restore. He came, beloved, for sinners. What happens in Levi's house is just a preview of an even greater act of grace. The dinner table of the tax collectors foreshadows another table, another meal, another night where Jesus will take bread and say, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he'll take the cup and say, this is my blood, which has been poured out for you. Now, why would Jesus do that? It's because the great physician doesn't merely treat the symptoms. He doesn't just treat them. He takes the disease upon himself. He absorbs all your guilt. He takes on and carries all your shame. He bears the curse that you deserve. And he dies the death of the sinner. Romans 5 says it so well. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you hear that? While we're still sinners. Not when we're improving, not when somehow we become worthy, not when we've finally proved ourselves to Jesus, but while we are still sinners. This is Jesus revealing his grace. He came for sinners. See, grace is not God meeting you halfway somewhere. Grace is God coming to your table, all the way to your booth, all the way to your sin. He came for sinners, and he's lifting you up out of that sin into new life. So when Jesus looked at Levi and he said, follow me, he wasn't calling a righteous man. He wasn't calling somebody like that. He was calling a sinner who desperately needed to be saved, a sinner to be forgiven, a sinner to be made new, a sinner restored to a relationship with an all-holy and perfect and wonderful God. This is why Jesus sat at Levi's table. This is why he sits at your table. Not to condemn you, not to shame you, but to save you, to forgive you, to make you new. This, beloved, is the heart of God towards sinners. This is his heart. This is his grace. So as we close out this passage, I want you to think back where this whole scene began. You had a man on spiritual death row, a man everybody counted out, a man no one believed, not in a minute, could change himself. And he's sitting there in the booth of his own making. He's resigned to a life that he can never undo. And the Son of God, he walks right into that place, looks at him, and he says, follow me. Beloved, that is the grace that has come to you today. Grace to call the sinner, grace that changes the sinner. That means no matter where you are, no matter what booth that you've been sitting in, Jesus is not avoiding you. Jesus is, he's coming toward you. He comes toward you and he calls out of the old life to keep, for you not to keep trying to fix it on your own, but he calls you into forgiveness, into freedom, into fellowship with God himself. It's into a restored relationship with God that was broken from the beginning of time. So as you leave here today, back into the crazy routines of life, right? The pressures that we have. Monday morning is coming. The temptations, the uncertainties of another week. Remember this, the same Jesus that called Levi, he walks out with you. He goes before you. He sits at your table and he whispers to you into your hearts every day, follow me. And beloved, one day, it's the great hope that we have, that those who have faith in Jesus Christ and our Lord, one day, that same Savior who sat at Levi's table, he's going to welcome you to another table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's found in Revelation. It's a table where grace has the final word, a table where all tears will be wiped away, a table where sin and sorrow are forgotten. Beloved, it's a table where us, each and every one of you, and me and Christ, as outcasts, as sinners, we sit at that table of God as children of God. And every Levi, every sinner saved by grace will take their seat with great joy. Can you imagine that day? That glorious day. It's coming. That's the hope you have in Christ. It's coming. It's a promise. It's going to be a glorious celebration of all of those who are in Christ. So go into this week with hope. You've been called by grace. You have been changed by grace, and you are held by the very hand of God who has a heart for you, sinners. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that seeks us, that saves us, that makes us new, that restores us to life through Christ with you as the Father. We thank you that you came for sinners, that you came for sinners such as us. So Father, today we pray that you would send us out from this place into the week, out in your strength. Father, would you fill us with your peace and keep us faithful until we feast with Christ in his kingdom one day. We pray this in Jesus' perfect and holy name. Amen.